Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Sox. Members FDIC. Ricky's boys don't quit, and neither does NBC Sports Chicago's coverage. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports and get your White Sox anytime, anywhere.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
That ball hit deep, way back! Deep to the field!
Holy cow! Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead!
Jimenez leaves the ballpark!
You can't put it on the ball!
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
All right, you're listening to the White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank. Chuck Arfine here with Vinny Duber. Stay tuned. Day two of the White Sox not getting Manny Machado. There will be day three, day four, day five. But, you know, listen, we're gonna cover a lot of angles here on this podcast. Let's begin with you, the White Sox fan. You are pissed. You are angry. The White Sox should have spent more money. They should have gone all in. And what all in is you top the San Diego Padres and you beat them. Because you're the White Sox. They're the Padres. You are a larger market. They are not. They do have better weather. We can't change that. And you're angry, and I get it, and I'm hearing it. But the Sox lost out. And, you know, there's a lot of, if you want to blame Rick Hahn and Jerry Reinsdorf and Kenny Williams, go right ahead. They felt they had the right offer to get him. 10 years, $300 million. Guaranteed. Padres went all in, and they got Manny Machado. So where are you right now, Vinny Duber?
You got to move forward, right? I mean, I think a lot of people are angry, a lot of them for acceptable reasons, perfectly acceptable reasons, a lot of them for other reasons that just don't seem to be correct, in my opinion. In the end, the White Sox reportedly did offer Manny Machado the chance to make $350 million over the next 10 years, which would have been $50 million more. But he's not here. He's not at the ranch, and you got to move forward. I think the big takeaway from Tuesday was Rick Hahn saying that money will be spent. The money's not going to sit around, and I believe the phrase he used was accumulate interest. So they're going to be as aggressive, if not more so, the next time free agency comes around and the next time a chance to land a marquee player comes around.
Yeah, I think White Sox fans feel like we've been down this road before. We thought we might get Alex Rodriguez. We thought we might get Torii Hunter, and we didn't. And here we are again at the same place. The White Sox would make offers, competitive offers, but competitive doesn't do the job sometimes. You got to go all the way. I think they felt they did go all the way, but they came up short. They didn't blow things out of the water. Now, Sox fans are really going to hate me for this.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm not going to say it.
What a tease.
You know, it goes both ways. Here's what I want to say. If the White Sox had a winning product over the last, 9 or 10 years, a lot more fans would have come to the ballpark, and there would be more money to spend. So who is at fault there? The fan? The team? Probably the team, right?
Here's the way to say that, I think. It's to look forward instead of backward and to say, if you want to start attracting these kinds of free agents, not only do you have to have the money to go along with it, but the best thing that's going to attract those free agents is winning. And the White Sox believe that they have a product building, that they have a product cooking that is going to be a team that is a winner, that is a perennial contender. You know, if, however many years ago, if I would have suggested that the top free agents should be going to play for the Houston Astros, it would have been laughable. You know, the Cubs were in the same boat at one point where they were not signing big guys and they were finishing in last place in their division. This is part of that process. And yeah, eventually you're going to get guys that are going to have to buy into that, and you're going to have to spend money to get those guys. But winning is going to cure all ills, and that's what Rick Hahn thinks is going to happen regardless of whether Manny Machado is here or not.
And then Sox fans might be saying, well, you know, they're making money hand over fist anyway. But then again, they offered a contract of $31.5 million for 8 seasons guaranteed. It's not peanuts either.
Of course not. I mean, yeah, I mean, the suggestion, and I think, you know, Ryan McGuffey brought it up on our podcast that we did the other day, the notion that they're being cheap is just not true, because it's a contract that could have been worth $350 million. They committed to spend $350 million, which is more than any contract anybody's ever received. That's not cheap. It's just by definition not cheap.
They lost out to the biggest contract in the history of American sports. Is that what this is?
The biggest free agent contract, because, yeah, Giancarlo Stanton's was worth more, but that was an extension.
Okay. So, you know, Manny Machado could have been the face of the franchise. But something I was thinking about even before they didn't get Machado was that they might already have the face of the franchise here, and that is in Eloy Jimenez. He's got talent, personality, charisma. He's got the drive to be great. He wants to be a superstar. He specifically mentioned he wants to be like Mike Trout and Miguel Cabrera. And I did write about this today, an article about this. And, you know, we put it out on Twitter, and here were the responses I've seen so far. Stop the spin. Small-minded thinking. Yes, potential future star, but that shouldn't hamper pursuit of a marketable franchise superstar. Having two superstars is better than one, so fail. And then there's just pile on the pressure for Eloy. And then front office better hope so. And then a whole bunch of other things. People didn't like that article that I wrote.
Fans are allowed to feel however they want. That's their prerogative, obviously. But an important thing to remember is that going after Manny Machado, and to a lesser extent going after Bryce Harper when they were perhaps a bit more active on that front earlier in the offseason, was not some quick fix band-aid to try and make this team better through one move. It was, even if they succeeded in acquiring one of those guys, it was going to be as part of this rebuilding plan with all of those other players that are currently in the minor leagues or have very little major league experience around those guys as their fellow superstars. You read a comment there that says two superstars is better than one. The White Sox think they could have more than two on the prospect rankings list right now, and certainly Eloy Jimenez is the top guy in that description. You know, he's a guy that back in earlier this winter, Rick Hahn described as somebody who they think can be as good as these guys they've been pursuing, the Machados, the Harpers. So you've got a guy here in Jimenez who is developing, who has very high expectations of himself, as you write about ever frequently, because he keeps saying it all the time, and that the White Sox have very high expectations for as well. White Sox fans should be very, very excited that they're going to see this guy on a daily basis starting in April.
All right, so we are living and breathing this Machado thing as White Sox fans, as White Sox members of the media. So MLB Trade Rumors put out a poll. Do you see this poll they put out today? Two questions I found very interesting, and you're really getting a national perspective about the Machado thing, okay? The first question was, how does Machado's signing with the Padres look from a Padres perspective? 52% said wise addition of a superstar. 47% said foolish risk. Okay. Now, how does this look from a White Sox perspective? 36% say they missed a unique opportunity. 32% said disappointing, but there's other fish in the sea. 31% say the White Sox dodged a bullet.
Yeah. And I mean, I think a lot of people look at the size of that contract and the length of the contract and say, if something goes wrong, which happens a lot in sports, you know, a guy just kind of stops producing or he gets hurt and injuries affect his production, you know, then you're going to be sorry for continuing to pay that guy for the next decade. Certainly Manny Machado has a great track record, and had the White Sox gotten him, I don't think we would be talking about that right now, but it's something that you talk about in the aftermath of the outcome. It was interesting to see those, you know, pretty much split into thirds right there. You know, I think if you were to take a poll of just just White Sox fans, the results would have been different.
I think if it was White Sox fans, would 80% say missed unique opportunity? 70%?
But here's the thing, in that the opportunity was not unique. There are big free agents every winter. There are going to be a lot of them next winter in particular. And then there's the trade market, which we've discussed numerous times, that could get you any player.
They might also be thinking, well, unique opportunity because you didn't have the Red Sox involved. Well, the Yankees, though, it turns out they were involved to a certain extent.
Yeah, but very early on. They were involved very early on, and it seems like once they weren't going to sit around and wait for Manny Machado. They had a World Series contender to build. So,
well, the White Sox did beat the Red Sox for Jose Abreu, so they have been able to beat these teams in the past, and they can do it again. All right, here, let's listen to Indians general manager Chris Antonetti. I spoke to him out here in Arizona about a couple of things. One, on Eloy Jimenez. Two, on the White Sox, who he thinks the White Sox could be in a contending team this year. Yes, this year in 2019. And I did ask him also about losing out on Machado.
First off, please, you don't have to face Manny Machado 18 or 19 times this season and for the next 8 years.
I think generally speaking, any executive would prefer for the best talent to either end up with their team or head outside of their division. So, you know, to see Manny end up in the National League didn't break my heart.
What do you think about the White Sox without Machado and what you see from where you're sitting with what the White Sox have assembled so far?
Yeah, I've said this multiple times throughout the course of the offseason. I think there are a number of teams in our division, and the White Sox included, that have a really, really good group of young players that are capable of progressing really quickly. And I think if you look back over the past few seasons in baseball, there are those teams that have had a great nucleus of young players that have maybe competed and contended before some other people would have expected. And I think, you know, the White Sox are very well positioned with some of the extraordinary trades that they've made and the players that they've brought into the organization and the way they've complemented them with some experienced veteran guys, that they have a compelling story to tell about why they'll be in contention this year.
What's your take on Eloy Jimenez and how dangerous of a hitter he might become?
Can he go to San Diego too?
No, he can't. I don't think so.
How about Cleveland? Would that work?
I don't think Rick Hine would make that trade with you.
He's a really, really good player, and it's been fun to see him develop. Right now, I've really enjoyed watching his development in the minor leagues. I'm not sure how much I'll like to see that development in the major leagues.
But when you see a GM like Rick Hine in your division, I mean, you guys are competitors. You guys are both really smart. What's your take on Hahn as a GM and a baseball mind?
Yeah, Rick's actually not only a competitor and a rival GM, but he's actually a close friend. We've known each other going back to the Manny Ramirez negotiations when he was still on the player representative side, and I was a young assistant in baseball operations. So I've got the great fortune to know Rick and have a profound respect not only for his intellect, but his leadership abilities and the way he's built an organization. So it's tough having to compete against them, but I'm in a situation within everyone in the division. They're close friends of mine. Obviously, Derek Falvey worked for us for a while with Rick Hahn and Dayton and Al. It's a group of not only peers, but friends.
So you knowing Rick the way you do, how do you think he's taking this loss, not getting Machado?
I'm guessing, knowing how competitive Rick is, he's probably not happy at the moment. So he may have gotten a few more gray hairs today.
All right, so what do you think about Antonetti saying that he thinks the White Sox could be a contending team this year?
I mean, contending to a point, I think. Certainly, you look around the rest of the American League Central, and outside of the Cleveland Indians, you shouldn't really be scared of anybody if you're the White Sox. And if you're the Indians, you look at the other four teams, and, I mean, in your opinion, Chuck, if Eloy Jimenez comes up and is what he is expected to be, is he the best player on those other four teams?
Ooh, no, Lindor.
No, the other four.
The other four teams. That's a good question. Might be.
Yeah. And so, I mean, the White Sox have a couple pitchers who could do, you know, who can have some high hopes here. Carlos Rodon, Reynaldo Lopez. Obviously, they've got things they've got to figure out. The team lost 100 games last year. We're not saying they're going to be in the World Series or anything. But, I mean, if you're the Indians and you're looking at who's going to be chasing us in the American League Central or at least giving us the biggest headaches, those other three teams are not teams that should scare you. And while the White Sox might not be one of those teams either, they perhaps would more than the other three.
All right, so as for the reaction in the clubhouse here on Tuesday,
I asked Yomer Sanchez about not getting Machado, and he said, quote, "I hope he enjoys playing in San Diego. If we play against him, we're going to beat him." There's some confidence from Yomer. And then Tim Anderson said what I think many White Sox players have been feeling when it comes to answering questions about Machado. I asked him if he's glad the Machado saga is over, and he said, "Okay, how did you write it on the internet?"
I believe it goes F asterisk asterisk K, yeah. Then S asterisk asterisk T, maybe now y'all stop asking me about it.
So that was Vinny saying it. Why don't we hear Tim Anderson literally say it? I think we don't have to beep it out on the podcast, do we? We're just going to play it. Well, I'll let the editors back in Chicago decide what they're going to do about it. Here's Tim Anderson here at Glendale.
I could care less. I don't care about, you know, the situation that was going on. You know, one decision don't determine my future, you know. So, you know, wish that the best of luck, but, you know, that don't have nothing to do with me.
What gives you that kind of confidence?
Me. I know what I have to do to be the player I want to be. I know where I want to be at in life and on the field. So, you know, I go out and try to, you know, reach those goals every day.
Tim, a lot of fans might be disappointed, but for this clubhouse, what is the feeling in here as it's constructed right now?
We're going to be Southside regardless. You know, nobody's decision determines, you know, what we got going on in this locker room. You know, I feel like we got a great group of guys here. We're going to do something special. You know, the White Sox are moving in the right direction. You know, and, you know, like I said, one decision don't, you know, dictate our season.
Do you think he missed the boat not coming to a great place like this with the great
players that you have here? He might have. But we're going to keep rolling. You know, either ride with us or get ran over. So, you know, we're going to keep it rolling. We care less about, you know, who's on the boat with us. And, you know, we know who's all on the boat with us. And, you know, we know which way we want to sail. So we're going to get there.
I know you're going to San Diego, but I'm just glad the shot of this is over. It's decided. It's in the past now.
Yeah. Maybe I'll stop asking me this.
As far as defining players, you know, they talk about Harper and Machado, but you guys are developing your own defining players in here, aren't you?
Yeah, man. I care less about what Harper and Machado situation. Man, I know where we headed at. You know, I'm on the South Side, and that's where I want to be at. And you know, we got a great group of guys here.
Go down, sir.
Which plays, I think Red Giroux was saying they used to wonder about you going in the hole. Now there's no question with that. And now you're working a little more on glove side plays? Mm-hmm. Or?
Yeah, everything. Yeah. You know, we're sharpening up everything, you know, offensively and defensively. You know, just you know, keep working and get to the player I'm trying to be.
All right, so Vinny, was that the quote of spring training? Will it, at the end of spring training, will that still be the quote of spring training?
Well, certainly this, you would figure, would be the story of spring training, and so this is the quote of the story of spring training, so it's going to be hard to top that for sure.
All right, so Bob Nightingale says the White Sox are out on Harper. They're looking to make some, Bryce Harper, obviously, they're looking to make some smaller improvements, maybe Marwin Gonzalez, Gio Gonzalez, he threw those names out there. But Rick Hahn did say that this Machado money will be spent. If not this offseason, that is next offseason or the season after that. But, you know, the Machado money is not going to be spent on the Marwin Gonzalez's of the world. I mean, it might be, but I think what he was more referring to is we're going back to the big boy table and we're going to try to swing and hopefully not miss next time.
Yeah, the evidence that the White Sox are entering a new phase of aggressiveness, if you want to call it that, the best evidence would have been for them to sign Manny Machado. That didn't happen, and so the best evidence we have now is what Rick Hahn's been saying all offseason, and that's we deserve to be here, we think we belong here, we're going to put forth the offers to be in negotiations with the top talent in baseball. You should expect to see the White Sox associated with those names. There's nothing that would lead me to believe that they would not act the same way next offseason as they did this offseason, and you're going to have a lot more high-profile options pending some extensions that might or might not get signed with the list of guys that are going to be out there next year. Nolan Arenado, Justin Verlander, Madison Bumgarner, we've talked about that before. It's a long list.
Yeah, and I'll say this. White Sox fans, if you're going to be skeptical next year going into this, that's fine. I get it. I totally get it. You want to wait until they sign. And I feel like if this hadn't taken so long, you wouldn't feel this way. If this was just, okay, we're going for it, just December, and then on December 20th they don't get him, it's like, okay, it sucks. But we, I'm including myself in this, we were kind of strung along, not by the White Sox, but by the process for so long. And I always knew, you know, 50-50 shot, I wasn't expecting them. I wasn't feeling good or bad that they were going to get Machado. But, you know, you couldn't help but think about the possibility of them getting him because they were close. And for it not to happen, it sucks. It's painful. But better days are ahead. I can't promise, I can't guarantee it, but I can tell you that just being in this clubhouse and seeing the talent that's here and coming, you know, exciting times are coming. It's not going to be with Machado, unfortunately. And finally, Tyler Clippard has found another team. I didn't know how to make the transition here. It wasn't a clean one, but I have it in my notes. Tyler Clippard, signed by the Indians, minor league deal, his ninth team since 2014. We need some humor to end the podcast, and I felt there was nothing better than throwing some Tyler Clippard, former White Sox reliever. Nine teams since 2014? How does that even happen?
Former White Sox great Tyler Clippard, and I believe 2017 World Series champion Tyler Clippard.
Is that true?
They traded him to the Astros after they got him from the Yankees in the Robertson trade.
That's what shows you where the Indians bullpen is right now. I know you won a World Series, but minor league deal going to Cleveland. We're gonna see him in spring training for sure. So,
yeah, there you go. Maybe that's why the Indians GM thinks the White Sox are going to be contenders in 2019.
And we'll end it on that. Thanks everybody for listening to therapy session number 2 on Manny Machado on the White Sox Talk podcast, brought by Wintrust Community Bank, your home for White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to the special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/Sox. Hawk Harrelson.
Thanks, Art Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast is over.